My son, Simon, he was 16 when he took his own life in Drogheda. He was 16 years of age. He had been depressed for a couple of years. We knew that. He had cut himself a few times previous to that. But even then, we still didn't know, think he was going to do what he did. We didn't understand the situation. We didn't know what was going on, so we couldn't help. And we looked for professional medical help, and we couldn't get any for him. And we had no voice. We didn't know anything. We didn't know what was going on. So Simon's suicide was a real shock to us. But at the same time, we'd just never seen it coming.
And yet, I suppose many people would say all the signs were there, but you didn't ask any questions.
No, we didn't. We didn't see it coming. We didn't see it. We asked him. We were constantly asking him how he was, and constantly asking what we needed to do and what could we do. We were constantly giving him hugs. You know, we were constantly waiting. He was kind of manic depressive. So when he was good, he was good. And when he was bad, he was very bad, you know. And we tried to help, but we were lost. His brothers, his mom, myself, we didn't know what we were doing. And we were questioning ourselves all the time. We didn't know what we were doing was even right. You know, if he was very down, we gave him what he needed and his food and his clothes and all that, and left him alone. Was that right? I don't know. But we never asked a suicide question. We never asked, was he thinking of suicide? Because we never thought he was actually considering suicide. We didn't. Blind and ignorant, probably we were. And that's the problem. That's we regret that as well the rest of our lives.
Now, obviously, when something like this happens in a family, the trauma must be enormous. How did you cope initially?
We didn't, initially. I think, safely say, for the first 3 to 6 months, we walked around. We walked around like zombies. You know, it's very hard to remember. We didn't do anything. We tried to connect as a family. We didn't connect as a family. Nothing was working for us. Nothing was working for the boys. We became overprotective of the boys. We tried to help them through it. But initially, for the first few months, it's like a zombie-like state. And then we started coming out of that. Boy, we started to research suicide throughout the world. And we started to come along. And then, as we said, we were learned more, and we learned more. And then we said, oh, I feel like that. Oh, I feel like, you know, we were recognizing other people's stories and things on the internet and things in books. And we're saying, wait a minute, I feel like that. Oh, I felt like that. Oh, that was me. Oh, so it's normal. So then we started to realize we were normal people. We weren't crazy at all. And that was the real push for starting to get to a new normal, rather than our old existing normal. We got to a new normal, slowly but surely, and I think a lot of it was true to the work. And for me, it was the strength of my wife behind me. I hope I was the same for her. And the boys then, in the last couple of years, have got two lovely girlfriends who they've told the whole story. And so we have a new family growing up.
Now, out of all this, you have set up an organisation to help others.
Yeah, we set up an organisation, Drogheda. Following on from the research we've done, we set up a website at www.sosadireland.ie. It's kind of a signpost, a guide to show people how and where to get help. And we thought that was this, naively. But since then, we've had so many requests for help. The whole charity has mushroomed. And we have offices and counselling rooms in Drogheda. And we have 20 volunteer counsellors working on us. And we try and help anybody who's affected by suicide in any way. Be it they're suicidal, or they have attempted suicide, or they've been bereaved by suicide. We try and we see what we can do to help them cope.
Now, you were telling me earlier that you also, in some strange way, when you went to Mass, seemed to think that you were getting a direct message from every homily that you heard.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is the bad time, 3 or 4 months after Simon died. I actually thought once or twice I was going crazy, or I thought the priest was talking directly to me. There was nobody else in the church. It just seems that the messages he was giving me, messages of encouragement that suited me, that fitted me exactly at that time. It was unbelievably amazing. And I'd sit down and be transfixed and saying, is he talking about me? I'd look around and see if there's still people in the church. And I said, no, he's talking to me. He's always talking to everybody. But it seemed like it was directed straight at me. And I think that was a great, great, great support to me. It was a great boost to me, you know, to have that, you know. And it helped me believe that Simon is in heaven now. And that, okay, bad way to put it, but we are kind of lucky enough. We have our own guardian angel in heaven. We're very lucky who looks after us.
Tough way to have one.
Yeah, very tough. If we could change it, we could change it. But he's in heaven now. He's in a better place. He's our guardian angel. And he's watching over us. And he's pushing the whole charity forward. He's driving the charity forward, not me. If I slack off, I think he tells me off.